once far off, now brought near, no longer strangers, no longer divided. In Christ, walls fall. Peace reigns. We are one people, one family, one dwelling place for God. Come discover the unity we share as one body in Christ.
Last year, I had the privilege of joining our choir in Ireland, and we had a fantastic time. Loved to hear the choir sing and got to travel along with them. One of the most amazing things that I saw in that beautiful country was in Belfast. We got to Belfast and discovered something I did not previously know. There is a wall bisecting much of the city. It goes for about 20 miles through Belfast and some of the surrounding regions, and you can see it's sort of become sort of a canvas for graffiti. It goes about 40 feet high, 20 miles wide, bisecting neighborhoods, towns, parks, families. It literally divides the Irish Catholic part of the city from the British Protestant part of the city. It's a religious divide, a wall. I couldn't help but thinking as we were standing there, 1987, Ronald Reagan standing before the Berlin Wall. Do you remember what he said? "Mr. Gorbachev, if you are for peace, tear down this wall." And the Bible says that's what Jesus did for us. Tore down the wall and made peace. And somehow through his sacrifice, we have peace with God. We have access with God. The hostility is gone, and we can stand in right relationship before an almighty God. Now, if I were to ask you, why did Jesus die on the cross? Many of you would say, Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and you would be right. Paul adds, not only did Jesus die on the cross to pay the price for our sins, he died on the cross to break down the wall that separated us, so that now, no longer merely as individuals, we are a corporate entity now standing in relationship with God. We are at peace, where once we were at odds. We now are near, where once we were far. And so now in Christ, the walls have been torn down, and in their place, God is building something that now involves us. We have been built on the foundation. We are being fitted together. We are being built into the building that God desires to be the temple, the dwelling place where all will be welcome into the presence of Almighty God. So what we learn is that Jesus did not only die on the cross so that you personally could have a personal relationship with God through Christ. He did that, but he also died on the cross so that we corporately would be built together into the body of Christ, which the Bible describes as the metaphor, the temple of God. So that when we come to church, we are not gathering merely as individuals having a common experience with God. Because the church is not a location. The church is an identity. The church is a family. You don't go to family. You are a family. The family is your identity, and what we're learning from the Apostle Paul is we're being built into the dwelling place of God. So we're in the middle of a series through the book of Ephesians, the series entitled In Christ, and we come to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11 down through the end of the chapter, a sermon that I have entitled Building a House with No Walls. And we're seeing that's a picture of what God is doing in Christ. What I want you to see are three things that God is doing in us. Take your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to begin with me in verse 11. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 11, "Therefore, remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you who were previously far away have been brought near in Christ. Now, I want you to note that Paul begins this section talking to the Gentiles. He identifies them. We'll see that several times in the book of Ephesians. Paul's talking to the church. There were both Jews and Gentiles in the church. And here specifically, Paul, a Jew, is talking to the Gentiles. And he says, you, Gentiles. And he changes pronouns. So back in verse 10, notice Paul was using the first person plural pronoun, we. We walk in them. But now you, Gentiles, second person plural. He's talking to a group. And the Gentiles here represented in fact, that literal Gentile population in the church, but now metaphorically we understand Paul is broadening this application so that all of us outside of Christ, or at a time in our lives when we were separated from Christ, represent the people here Paul is describing as the Gentiles. So he's describing the unconverted Gentiles, but in the process he's telling your story. He's talking about a time in your life when you were apart from God. The language that Paul uses there in verse 13 is you were far away. You were distant. You were remote. You were far. But in Christ, you, Paul says, have been brought near. You were far. You are now near. And he begins by recognizing there is a division that existed in the church between the Jews and the Gentiles, and they called each other names. In fact, the names that Paul uses here, though they had a literal meaning, also had a metaphorical meaning, and they were used by racial slurs on both sides. Note how he says that. Remember, you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. You were called uncircumcision by those who are called circumcision. Those are the names you called each other, just emphasizing the division that existed between them. And then Paul goes on in verse 12 to describe the characteristics of what it means to be distant from God. This is what it looks like to be far from God. Look at the five things that Paul says there in verse 12. Remember, so he's using an imperative, very first imperative that Paul uses in the book of Ephesians. Remember, you were. Now note the five things that describe who you were. You were separated from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You were in the world that God created, but you were separated from the God who created it. You had no hope, so you were Christless, you were separated, you were outside of the covenant, you had no hope, and you had no God. You were hopeless and godless in the world. Can you imagine the picture of someone who has no hope and is separated from God? Paul says that's who you were. Christless, separated, divided, hopeless, godless. But now, verse 13, that's who you were. You were distant, but now, verse 13, in Christ, you who were far are now brought near. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You were far, but now you have been brought near in Christ. Nearness is proximity. Nearness is there in the presence. Nearness is right there close by. Israel understood nearness. Exodus chapter 19, when God was on Mount Sinai and the children of Israel were gathering, surrounded the mountain. They didn't go close to the mountain because that was the holy place. That was the place where God was. And God thundered. God spoke the words of the law. And the children of Israel were frightened by the voice of God. And so they said to Moses, Moses, you go near and talk to God. We'll stay far and be safe. We don't want to be near. Or in Joshua chapter 3, when the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan River, and the Ark of the Covenant went in front of them, 2,000 cubits away, and God said, don't go near the Ark of the Covenant. That's proximity. Don't stand in nearness to that. Or maybe you remember that scene in Genesis chapter 45. Joseph has been, he's been betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. In the providence of God, and over the next few years, Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers, was elevated to the place of being second in the kingdom. And in the greatest irony that you find in the text, his brothers, who sold him into slavery, had to then come before Joseph, even though initially they didn't know it was him, and beg for grain so that they could have food to eat. And then in a wonderful story, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and at first they didn't recognize him, and you can imagine they're rubbing their eyes and they don't really believe, and Joseph says, come near and see that it's me. Nearness is proximity. You were far, God brought you near. Now, because nearness is so important to me, and I so want us to understand this concept of nearness, I brought in an expert on farness and nearness. You'll recognize Grover, that great theologian from the Muppets. Grover's going to explain to us what it means to be far and what it means to be near. So pay attention to Grover.
Hello there. This is your old pal, Grover. Mm-hmm. And today, I'm going to talk to you about near and far. Mm-hmm. In fact, I, little furry Grover, am going to show you near and far. Mm-hmm. Okay, here goes. Mm-hmm. First, this is near. Right here, near. Mm-hmm. This is far! This is near. You see?
Okay, you get it? You were far, you are near in Christ. That's what Jesus did for you. The first thing that God is doing in Christ is he is bringing proximity. He is allowing you in the presence of God so that now through Christ we come boldly before the throne of grace because he brings us near. But let me tell you a second thing the Bible says God is doing in our lives in Christ. Number one, in Christ we have proximity. Number two, in Christ we have unity. Pick up the story. Verse 14, here's what the Bible says, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the hostility, which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one person new, and in this way establishing peace. And he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the hostility. And he came, preached peace to those who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Here is how God provided proximity. Here's how God brought you near. He did it in Christ by bringing unity to those that were divided, and he did that in himself. He is our peace. He is the one who reconciles us. He is the one who breaks down barriers. He is the one who draws together families. He's the one who breaks down the wall of separation. Look at that word in verse 14. The barrier of the dividing wall. That word there, divided or separated, is the word in Greek phragmos, from which we get our word fragmented or fragmentation. So that here's what we were. We were fragmented. But in Christ, we are brought together. Now, Paul's using a metaphor here that you need to understand in order to understand the point that Paul is making. For verse 14, he, that's Christ, is our peace, who made both groups, referring to the Jews and the Gentiles, one. And here's what he did. He broke down the dividing wall. Your translation may say middle wall. And what Paul undoubtedly is referring to is the scene of the Temple Mount. And so I brought a picture of the Temple Mount, and I want you to see this is a replica of what the Temple Mount would look like during that time. So this is Herod's temple. So the temple that existed during the time of Jesus. And so if you go from this side over here on the right to the left, this side on the right is north, the side on the left is the south, 1,550 feet long, 1,000 feet west to east. The side over here that I'm pointing to is the west side. The wall that still exists today in Jerusalem, you may have referred to as the Wailing Wall. More naturally, it is the Western Wall. It is not the wall of what was the temple. It is the wall of what was that large wall all the way around what we know of as the Temple Mount. 37 acres, 1,550 feet long, 1,000 feet wide, and this area that's over here on the left is what's called the Court of the Gentiles. That's where the Gentiles could go. That's where, by the way, when Jesus, the Bible says Jesus went into the temple and overturned the table of the money changers, that's where it was, right over here in the Court of the Gentiles. Not in the temple itself, in the temple area. This is what we call the Court of the Gentiles. That's the only place where the Gentiles could go. But now here's what I want you to see. In here is the temple. But surrounding the temple, and you have to look very carefully right here, this wall that goes here, goes all the way around, and goes right here. It's a very small wall, three cubits high, so about 5 feet tall, is the wall of separation. It's the middle wall. That's the barrier across which no Gentile could cross. Inside that wall is the temple. Outside that is the place where only the Gentiles could go. Scattered around the walls were signs. Now, I just want you to imagine this. Archaeologists have discovered replicas of actual signs that were on the wall, the dividing wall. And this is what those signs says as they made their way to the temple. Here's what the sign said. No foreigner is to enter within the temple court. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his death, which will ensue. Welcome to the temple. If you come in and you're not welcome, you will die and it's your fault. And they had those signs placed all the way around. What are they saying? This wall is a wall of separation. If you are on the outside, stay there. You are not welcome on the inside. In Acts 21, verse 27, Paul was arrested and he was tried. And the accusation that they made against Paul, which was unfounded, but the accusation was that he brought a Gentile across the wall. He brought a Gentile across the middle wall. And so they arrested Paul, took him to Caesarea, eventually took him to Rome, which is where Paul was when he wrote the book of Ephesians. Having just been falsely accused and arrested, Paul is now using his own life story as a metaphor for what God is doing. Watch this. God's breaking down that wall. So that now that wall that existed literally and figuratively as a division, a barrier across which no Gentile could cross, now Paul says, you Gentiles, remember, you were far off, but in Christ you're near. Why? Because God broke down the wall. And he has made one out of what was two. You see, there's obvious hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. So hostile were the Jews against the Gentiles that it was almost 10 years before the gospel went to the Gentiles after Christ rose from the dead. Acts chapter 1 and 2. Remember the preaching of the gospel by Peter? 3,000 people were saved, all Jews. Then 5,000 people came to Christ, all Jews. Acts chapter 8 is when the gospel made it to the Samaritans. They were half Jews. It's Acts chapter 10, almost 10 years after the resurrection of Christ, before the gospel made it to the Jews, or to the Gentiles. The Jews hated the Gentiles. It was said in their culture that the Jews believed that God created Gentiles because he needed something to stoke the flames of hell. in their law. If the Jew was to marry a Gentile, their family would have the funeral for them. No Jew was allowed to even help a Gentile mother give birth, because by doing so, they would be helping to bring another Gentile into the world. That's how the Jews were hostile towards the Gentiles. Do you remember when Peter was on the roof in Acts chapter 10, and he was praying and had a vision, and God brought a sheet down in the middle of that vision, and on that sheet were what Peter believed to be unclean animals. According to the Jewish law, animals Peter was not allowed to eat. And in a dream, God spoke to Peter and said, Peter, I want you to rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, by no means, Lord. I don't eat unclean food. And God said, what I've called clean, you have no right to call unclean. It happened three times, and finally Peter, after the third time, got the message. He's not just talking about food, he's talking about the Gentiles, because God had called him to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And then in Acts chapter 11, after Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles, the Jews confronted Peter and said, did you preach the gospel to the Gentiles? Peter said, yes, and the Holy Spirit came. And the Jews rejoiced. Even the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles. Now watch verse 16. He reconciled them both into one body through the cross, having put to death the hostility. He crucified the hostility between Jews and Gentiles. He broke down the wall that divided them. Can you think about someone in your life from whom you are divided? The Bible says Jesus is our peace. He's the one who gave his life to bring peace into what was disorder, so that, verse 15, he makes one out of what was two. Same miracle that God performs in biblical marriage, where two become one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Here, God does that every day between unbelievers and believers when they come together in faith. God is doing something to bring unity where there was formerly disunity. He is making peace. So now the Jews lived in a city that was controlled by Rome, and Rome prided themselves in bringing peace through conquering. But the Bible says Jesus brought peace through the sacrifice of his own life. Jesus preached peace, Paul says, verse 17. The message of the gospel brought peace where there was only formerly division. He preached peace to those who were far, that's the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, that's the Jews. For through him, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access in one spirit to the Father. You see what Paul is saying? We're saved the same way. There's not a separate plan of salvation for Jews and for Gentiles. We both have access to the Father through the sacrifice of the Son. We both have the Spirit of God that draws us into his presence because of a common faith we have in Jesus Christ. We have access to the Father. A couple of years ago, Jay and I were taking a cruise on the heels of a big anniversary, and we're on this very large boat with 6,000 of our closest friends, and we're walking through the boat, and I happened to see someone that I recognized from a distance, Mike. It was Don Newberry. And I'm on the Lido deck, and I saw from a distance, Don Newberry was the president of Howard Payne University when we were there. He's now the chancellor. One of the most spectacular people that I have ever met, one of the most unusual men I've ever met, just naturally gifted, magnetized. People flocked to Howard Payne because of Don Newberry. I saw him on the Lido deck of this very large ship. Went and got Jay, and we came and met Dr. and Mrs. Newberry there. And because he's Dr. Newberry, and knows so many people, he somehow had connections with the captain of the boat. And he said, tomorrow morning, I'm going onto the captain's deck. Do you want to go? yeah, I want to go. And so we go with Dr. Newberry up to the captain's deck where they're steering the ship, and he's giving instructions probably for our benefit, but I didn't care. We're standing there, and they're steering this boat. We're on the captain's deck, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm only here because I know Don Newberry. I can't be on the captain's deck because of anything that I've done, but I'm here because I know him. Now let me tell you what the Bible is saying. You and I have access to the Father, not because we deserve access to the Father. We have access to him through Jesus Christ. In him, we have nearness. In him, we have unity, but there's more. I want you to see the last part that Paul is saying, verse 19. So, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are fellow citizens with the saints. You're God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God by the Spirit. We have access to the Father, but even more than that, Paul says, it gets even better than that. Not only can you come into the presence of the Father, be near to him, not only can you have unity where there once was division, but now, Paul says, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, your family. You're not only in the presence of God, you are now part of the family of God. So look at verse 19. Look at that phrase. So then, you are no longer. Just stop right there. I highlighted those two words, no longer. Not anymore. You used to be separate. You used to be foreigners. You used to be away from the presence of the Father, but now, no longer are you strangers and foreigners. You are now family. So earlier in the chapter, Paul talked about five characteristics of what it meant to be far, but now I want you to notice how he closes the chapter with five characteristics of what it means to be near. So, look at verse 19. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, being fit together and then being built together. So you have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You are being fitted together within the body, like Lego pieces coming together to form a bigger picture, and you are being built into a holy temple in the Lord. So back to the picture of the Temple Mount, with which they were all familiar when Paul wrote this. Paul says, that's what God is doing in your life. But it's not just in you. Collectively, corporately, all of us, Jews and Gentiles, all of us in Christ are being built together into a holy temple. And what distinguishes this temple from the other temple is everybody is welcome in Christ. And so now, not only do we have proximity, and not only do we have unity, but we have community in Christ. We're part of his family. We have a new identity. We have a new family, we have a new foundation, we have a new fellowship, and we have a new purpose. We are being fitted together. There's a process that is taking place where God is now molding us together like puzzle pieces coming together to form a bigger picture, growing into the temple of God. This is who you are becoming. This is what God is in the process of doing. You are becoming the dwelling place, the temple of God. We are the temple. We join ourselves with others into the family of faith. Your body, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6:19, is a temple of God, so be careful what you do with your body. It's God's home. You are being built into the temple, the dwelling place of God. God is in the process of doing something. He has done something. He's brought us near in Christ. He is doing something. He is forming us into the dwelling place, the temple of God, where God dwells. The key to everything is found in Christ. Paul says, verse 13, Christ is our provision. Verse 18, Christ is our peace. Verse 20, Christ is our cornerstone. He is the foundation of everything that God is doing. And if you and I want to be a part of what God is doing, it happens only in Christ. So let me ask you two questions. Is there a wall that still exists between you and God? Is there a barrier? The Bible says sin is that barrier between us and God. Does that still exist in your relationship with Him? Is there something that is promoting distance between you and God? Because if there's distance between you and God, God hasn't moved. You're the one who's drifted from Him. If there's distance between you and God, then what Paul has said is Jesus Christ paid the price for you to come near. So if there's distance, then this is the time to restore that relationship, or maybe for the very first time. The Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And the consequences of that sin is death. But the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, God has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him, and by His stripes we're healed. And so the distance that exists between you and God can be crossed through the blood of Christ. But let me ask you a second question. Is there a wall that still exists between you and somebody else? Because the other thing that God is doing in our lives is He's bringing peace not only between us and God, but He's bringing peace between us and other believers. So there ought not be a barrier. There ought not be a division within the family of faith. There ought not be any kind of divide that separates us from one another, because in Christ, what was formerly separated has been brought together. That's the house God is building that has no walls. It's what God's doing in you in Christ.